You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Are you ready for some football? Because football officially starts tonight. I know we had the Hall of Fame game last week, but that was just sort of the appetizer. We've got a game on the board tomorrow, then a full slate of football tomorrow. Then we've got football every day right on through to Sunday. So the National Football League preseason is here, which means fantasy football season is here. And don't think that we'd leave you hanging. No, we didn't put together a full lineup for you. There's only so many hours in the day, but we are going to take a look at a couple of players that I think could provide you some big points and some big value. Week one DFS, little NFL preseason. And for the love of God, people, for the love of God, do not take any big name starters, man. I understand that Ezekiel Elliott's like 19% owned on DraftKings. Are you freaking kidding me? Like, sir, come on, guys. Like, come on. Use your head here. Who's playing in the preseason? It's not the starters. Figure it out. Tony Sincotta is going to join us. We're going to talk some more DFS football. But get this. DraftKings has already released the salaries for week one of the regular season. So I don't know if we're going to be the first ones out of the gate, but I got to believe we're one of the first ones out of the gate to break this down. We're going to take a look at the quarterbacks. Is there any value? Are people going to get suckered into a couple of the big names when they don't have to? I've got a guy that I think is going to be, he's going to have a great week one, and I don't think he's going to be heavily owned. But with that being stated, I was very disappointed to see that he wasn't cheaper. So I think the public might be stupid, but the people that set the prices at DraftKings are not. So we're going to talk some a lot of fantasy football talk. You guys like DFS? We're talking week one already, baby. We're talking week one preseason. We're talking week one regular season. You like college football? Well, our weekly college football conference previews continues today with Mark Lawrence, who I was with in Costa Rica at the IFBC. And, man, that's getting a lot of publicity now. I was waiting, man. I was waiting because, of course, Manziel was there. I was like, man, I'm surprised the mainstream media hasn't caught on to this yet and really starting to freak. It started to pop up a little bit, but everybody was all over it yesterday. The IFBC went big time. It was on Pardon the Interruption. They were talking about Manziel hanging out with a bunch of dirtball gamblers. That's me. I was one of the dirtball gamblers. And Babano and Mark Lawrence and Teddy Covers. So yeah, it'll be like a reunion this week. They'll all be joining us this week. But Mark Lawrence, we're talking Pac-12. Mark's all fired up. He wanted to talk SEC football. I was like, whoa, whoa, slow down there. Slow down, big boy. We got to do a little West Coast talk. And this is a shout out to my boy, Brooks. Great guy, big fan, great guy. And he loves the USC Trojans. So he told me last night, finally, you guys are talking about the Pac-12. And I told him, I said, yeah, you know what, though? When Mark Lawrence comes on, I only have time to talk about, like, the top teams in the conference, so I don't know if I'll be able to get to the Trojans on the show today. Yeah, we'll see if we can squeeze in a little USC Trojan talk. And in fact, it's like 10-minute of Trojan talk, all right? There's a lot to talk about when we talk about the USC Trojans this year. So, hey, it's a great time of the year, people. Preseason football is here. We got a game on the board tonight. We'll see how Deshaun Watson does. And this is as close to as a homecoming as he's going to get, essentially, all right? As far as his college career is concerned, because last time I checked, and I don't know, they do move teams a lot. There's no NFL team in South Carolina, right? But North Carolina, pretty fitting that Deshaun Watson's NFL career is going to begin in Charlotte tonight. We got the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans on the board. Yesterday, Malinsky joined us. We talked about that total potentially being a little low. Man, it's been bet up to 38 right now. People pay attention to the professor. You should have jumped on that yesterday. Could have gotten it at like 36 and a half, 37, up to 38. Right now, we'll have some picks for you on that. I just saw that baseball, pretty cool. Baseball is going to allow people to put nicknames on the back of their jerseys. And of course, now you can't sell stuff because that's the first thing I thought of, man. Yeah, what's the name on the back of your jersey? Pepsi Cola. Like, I don't know. Whoever pays me the most, that's who I'll put the name on the back of the jersey. What do you want me to tell you? I don't care. Yeah, pay me. But baseball was smart. Hey, you guys can't, like, sell this stuff, right? What do you do, though, if the dude's last name is Kawasaki? It's free publicity all the time. Yeah, pretty interesting stuff, baseball. That's going to be in a couple of weeks. The same weekend that Conor McGregor is fighting Floyd Mayweather. So, man, We know that it's coming. We're only a, you know, we're like 2.5 weeks away right now. Like, seriously, we're like 2 Saturdays away from this fight after this Saturday. This this son of a bitch is right around the corner. And the big hype machine is starting to kick in once again. Or did I say hype machine? Damn. I meant to say lie machine is starting to kick in right now. So they went through that embarrassing 4-day press conference thing in which really they proved that they would do anything. Like, you know, from a racist aspect, from a wife-beating aspect, from any freaking aspect that it took for them to get attention, you know, they did. I think they would have had sex together on the stage. Like, if you tell them, listen, we'll throw in another $500 million. Like, these guys are that desperate right now, evidently. Like, for rich dudes, it's getting to be pretty freaking pathetic. So the fact of the matter is, the Conor Floyd fight's kind of been out of people's conscience for a couple of weeks now. They don't like that. And they also don't like the fact that hotel rooms in Vegas are going for standard prices. That's all you need to know about this, all right? Like, listen, you go to Vegas Labor Day weekend, you go Super Bowl weekend, you go New Year's, you go Halloween, you go for a big prize fight. Hotel rooms are going to be like, you know, $600-$700, man, for a room that's normally $140. You look at the hotel room prices in Vegas for Saturday, August 26th right now, standard. You can get a room over at Circus Circus for $68, I think, right now. You know, people aren't exactly like booking flights and I got to get to Vegas. I got to get to Vegas for this fight. So they know this. So they're getting a little desperate right now. So what do they do? Let's start off with lie number one. So Paulie Malignaggi decides to spar with Conor McGregor. And then, of course, gets beat up. Pictures get leaked of him. He's got black eyes and stuff like that. He does an interview with Ariel Helwani in which he goes, I told Conor it's not cool to leak these pictures, man, because now everybody's asking me about this stuff and I don't want to talk about this stuff. Yet there's Paulie Malignaggi going on every damn show in the free world. I think he's on in North Korea right now. The guy was on like local Fox stations and stuff now. Like this is to the point where it is, all right? And then I clued in. I'm like, that's right. Conor and Floyd are actually training right now. So now Paulie's got to step up and sell this crap for a couple of days. You know, with the black eyes and it, everybody buys in. And then Paulie says, but I'll tell you what, man, Conor's getting pretty good in there. Conor's getting pretty good in there. Boom. I nearly fell for it. I did for a few hours. Then I clued in. What am I, an idiot? Paulie Malignaggi's part of the damn broadcast crew. Part of the damn broadcast. It's like Jerry the King Lawler telling you that something that's going on in the WWE really is real. Thanks, King. So Paulie Malignaggi, good for you. You're in on it. You fooled everybody. You didn't fool me. All right, so let's get to lie number two. And I called this from day one. Check the tape. I said that Floyd Mayweather, as the fight's going to get closer, Floyd Mayweather's going to go, oh, man, I'm old, man. I'm tired, man. I'm beaten down. Yeah, I'm beaten down. So, of course, if he was tired and beaten down, he'd release a videotape of him looking tired and beaten down, leaving the gym. I've seen better acting in, like, porn movies, all right? Like, there's Floyd looking tired. And then Floyd, who did Floyd tell Dan Patrick? I shouldn't even be the favorite. I'm so bad in camp. I feel so old. I shouldn't even be the favorite. So you're telling us that you're 40 years old. You haven't fought in 2 years. You suck in camp. You're old. And you're fighting a guy that's not even a professional boxer, but we're supposed to give you $99. Kind of a weird way to sell a fight. So I saw it coming. I saw it coming. So it's funny. They do the video, and it's out there. Just look on YouTube, Floyd Mayweather, old and tired. He's selling it, man. I think like they did a body double, and they put Floyd Sr. in the video type of thing. He's even wearing like Floyd Sr.'s clothes, right? It's like comedy, man. It's to the point where it's like, whoa. I actually feel like an idiot even admitting I'm going to watch this fight, like, at this point. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to bet on it. And I hope the morons keep on betting on Conor McGregor, but I don't know, man. There might be an accidental headbutt and a disqualification, so they have to do it all over again. We're all getting played. Figure it out, people. So just as if the video wasn't enough, then Floyd goes on with Dan Patrick, I think it was, started telling him about how bad he is and how Conor should really be the one favored. Well, I'll tell you what, Conor, Floyd, it doesn't matter what happens in a damn ring. The only people who are going to be losers are the people that pay $99 for this. And you know what? I don't know if I'm paying $99, but I'll be paying somewhere. I'm going to be watching. So I'm as big of a loser as you are that cares about this freaking train wreck. Game Time Decisions continues.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot, because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at RotoExperts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Man, we've got a lot of football talk on the program today. We're going to squeeze in a couple of baseball picks for you. But as far as the topics are concerned, it's football, football, and football. We're talking Pac-12 football with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com's Mark Lawrence. We're going to talk week one NFL football from a DFS standpoint, from a fantasy standpoint, as DraftKings and FanDuel have both released their salaries for week one already. So it's never too early to get prepared for week one of the National Football League. And Tony Sincotta is going to be with us. And then I'm going to focus in on some week one preseason. A couple of players that are standing out in their camps. I didn't put together a whole lineup for you, but I got four or five players that have been standouts in training camp so far. And I expect them to produce in their first preseason football game. So I've got football fever. I know Mark Lawrence has football fever. It was my honor to be speaking at the same engagement as Mark Lawrence was, the International Football Betting Conference. And for my money, and no disrespect to anybody else, but I enjoyed Mark Lawrence's presentation the most. A wealth of information at the IFBC. And IFBC is getting a lot of pub right now, Mark, all over PTI. Skip Bayless was ripping Manziel for hanging out with a bunch of gamblers in Costa Rica. I guess you and I are the gamblers in Costa Rica they're talking about.
The lowlife that they're talking about, unbeknownst to them, they weren't there. They don't know. They don't know what the situation was, but it was great that Johnny Manziel stepped in, did his talk. I think everybody was mesmerized. It was terrific for the conference. Got a lot of publicity, as you say, on social media, and all in all, I think the conference was a home run. And I have to say this, I enjoyed your speech as well as anybody's. In fact, more than anybody's, you had everybody rolling in their seats.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I brought a little rock show to the IFBC. Funny, you know, the network here at the Fantasy Sports Network, they wanted to replay it. They wanted to play it on television, my presentation. But there's a few too many F-bombs, actually. So I think it's going to have to go on YouTube only. We'll get it up on the Fantasy YouTube page. But, it was a lot of fun. Just a great conference. I didn't know what to expect. I actually wondered, all right, there's going to be speakers there, but who are we speaking to? How many people are going to Costa Rica to a hotel in a ballroom to watch us talk? Well, evidently, people from the Philippines, people from Austria, people from Australia, people from the UK, people from Boston, people from Maine, people from LA, people from Vancouver, people from Toronto. There were people from all over the world there. They really were. And they were all gamblers. It was crazy.
It was truly an international football betting conference, as you said, Gabe. It was really nice to be there, sit there in that room with everybody. And I'm really excited about what they're going to do next year. They're talking about doing the same thing next year and maybe even for basketball. So they're on the right track, the people at SBR. It was nice to meet the whole crew, meet you as well, once again down there, and had a real blast down there.
Yeah, I wish we could have hung out a little bit more, but I went pretty hard for the first 2 days, Mark. I was wiped out on Saturday, all right? After your speech, I went right back to my room. I was in my room and it got on the plane. It took me 15 hours to get home, but you're right. It was such a smash success when we all left. Everyone was like, well, next year it's going to be even bigger and better, and everyone's hugging. We'll see you next year. And it's only been about 24 to 48 hours, and I'm already seeing the buzz. How do you feel about a March Madness convention for basketball? And I'm like, sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good. I'd go before that, actually. And there's actually talk. I'm going to hook up with the SBR guys in Mexico City for the Raider game, Patriots and Raiders, in November in Mexico City. So Let's talk some football, though, right now, some Pac-12 football. And a conference that's slipping a little bit in past years, and a bowl record speaks for itself. Only played in six teams to go to bowl games last year. 3-3 straight up. A dismal 0-6 money burning against the spread, and that speaks for itself right there. But there are some big-time quarterbacks in this conference, and there is a very big-time football team in USC, and maybe a big-time football team in the Washington Huskies once again. So let's start off with the USC Trojans right now. Plus 700 to win the national championship, plus 150 to make the playoffs, plus 110 to win the Pac-12 conference. The win total is 9.5, minus 160 to the over right now, plus 130 to the under. And another odd that we'll throw in here that we don't normally do with these college football teams, but not everybody has Sam Darnold as their quarterback. They also have the Heisman Trophy favorite winning quarterback, Sam Darnold, plus 350 to win the Heisman. Mark Lawrence, long story short, the Trojans are damn good.
I'd be shocked if this football team, like you said, Gabe, doesn't win at least 10 games, perhaps 11 this football season here, and it's all largely because you say of Sam Darnold. What he did last year was terrific. 9-1 in his 10 starts, and he won the stats in all 10 of those football games. They are the team to beat this year because, if no other reason, they beat both of the teams in the Pac-12 that played in the title game last year.
Yeah, unbelievable. 31 touchdowns in just the 10 games that he played. Makes me wonder, what the hell? Like, how did he not be the starter from the beginning there? But, you know, Max Brown was the starter at the time. They stumbled out of the gate at 1-2. Listen, they lost both their tackles. He loses, you know, Juju Schuster's gone. So, you know, they lose some talent, but we are talking about USC here. It's a talent factory. And I love the fact that it's not just Darnold here. He's got somebody to hand the football off to, and Ronald Jones as well. And let's not forget, you know, USC used to be tailback you. They've sort of morphed into stud college quarterbacks, mediocre NFL you guys at QB. You know, the Leinerts, and, you know, you go down the list of the guys, so to speak. You know, the Matt Castles of the world. But they're all studs. But, you know, Ronald Jones, man, this kid's a hell of a running back, actually. He's kind of flying under the radar because of Sam Darnold there.
You know, Sam Darnold, you mentioned Jones. You talk about 81 players on this roster last year that played in the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
A lot of experience coming back for this football team. They have to be, obviously, the team to beat in the Pac-12 this year.
Yeah, you know, they lose some guys on the defensive side of the football to the National Football League, but leading tackler Cameron Smith is back, a great linebacker. Schedule sets up real nicely as well. 3 straight home games. Western Michigan's not the same Western Michigan team as last year. That's a win. Very, very rare, though, and interesting, Mark, to see them host Stanford in week 2, sandwiched between a Texas game. Weird spot, isn't it?
Real weird spot. In fact, I think it's a little bit more difficult, and Stanford opens the season in Australia and then catches USC in week 2. But you don't usually see marquee games that big of a caliber in conference play in week 2 of a football season.
Yeah, you know, so it's a strange time to play Stanford, but as you mentioned, Stanford coming back from Australia. They're at Washington State. They're at Notre Dame. They're at Colorado. But this is tailor-made for a massive run here. I'd be shocked if they didn't win 11 games. I'm not a fan of laying minus 160 at 9.5, but I think it's a more than a fair bet, actually, Mark. I mean, this could be a 12-win team. I'd be shocked if it's not an 11-win team. And even if they're a 10-win team, we still win the bet.
Well, we're going to win that bet, the over total of this football team here, Gabe. I had them playing in the college football playoffs this year. They will be most likely the Pac-12 representative, if for no other reason the fact that, number one, they're the best team, and number two, I think this conference is way up this year. We're going to see a lot of good football in the Pac-12 conference.
One thing that's interesting that you wrote here, in the Pete Carroll era, they were getting 91,000 people a game in the old Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush days and stuff. Only getting 69,000 right now. It's a pretty significant drop-off, but we saw the same thing with the Michigan Wolverines over the years, and it's possible to build that back up. But I'd be disappointed if it's only 69. They better be getting this up to 79, 80,000 a game this year. No excuses. You're one of the national champion favorites. You got the Heisman Trophy favorite here. O.J. Simpson's getting released. Life's good at USC.
O.J.'s released. He's not welcome on campus there
anymore. Believe
that,
though. Imagine that. They come back and they free the juice. Yeah, they said that. Hey, they announced it. They said, O.J., you're not welcome to come here when you get out.
Well, you do the crime, you do the time. I guess that's the bottom line, right?
Yeah, real classy of USC telling him. He's not even out of jail yet. Hey, don't even think about coming to us. All right, the Buffalo Bills will probably honor him. All right. Hey, how about the Washington Huskies? Seems like the mainstream are sort of forgetting about these guys, and they think last year was sort of a fluke. It really wasn't. They're stacked. Peterson's a hell of a coach. He's been recruiting like crazy up there. He's starting to chip in to Oregon's struggles right now. And, you know, Oregon used to get those Pacific Northwest kids or the best kids from L.A. The Washington Huskies are doing a very good job of getting into that pipeline, so to speak, right now. And, yeah, they lost John Ross. They lost a couple of guys, but they're still freaking loaded on both sides of the ball, this team.
Really loaded this football team here, Gabe. And as you mentioned here also in the overview, a very soft schedule to begin with here. One winning opponent in their first nine FBS teams are going to play. So they've got it really cushy to begin the football season here. My only concern is they're going to be on everybody's radar this year, given what they did last year. They're the defending Pac-12 champions. But again, you have to acknowledge the fact that this team is loaded and they will be in the run for the Pac-12 as well.
They're 40-1 to win it all. They're not going to win it all. They're plus 450 to make the playoffs. I doubt they make the playoffs. It's interesting, though. They don't play USC in the regular season. So that they both dodge a bullet right there. They're plus 275. They're the only team that really the odds makers think they compete for real. There's a big drop off in odds after the Washington Huskies here. The win total is 9.5, Mark. Is it too high, though? I mean, like, it's 9.5 minus 155, and I look at that, I'm like, that's pretty high, and you got USC at 9.5. But you mentioned that schedule, man. It's as soft as that guy that sells that My Pillow. All right, I'm Larry Lindell with My Pillow. That's as soft as this pillow. You know, you guys are opening up. You got Montana State. You got Rutgers. Yeah, Fresno are all right, but come on, man. And then you're that Colorado's a tough game, but this schedule is a cakewalk.
It's the best schedule of all teams in the Pac-12 conference. That's why they'll be right on USC's heels this year. But you asked me about 9.5 wins. My only reservation, again, is the fact that they're going to have this big target on their back this year for all the teams they knocked off last season.
Yeah, I can't do it. It wouldn't shock me if they were a 9-3 football team. They're stacked up front. They got a bunch of big dudes. They always got those big Samoan guys and stuff up front. But their secondary lost three guys to the National Football League. That's going to be hard stuff to replace. All right, you can never underestimate the Stanford Cardinal. Stanford Cardinal, 80-1 to win it all, plus 1,600 to make the playoffs, plus 800 to win the Pac-12. Win total, very intriguing at 8.5, and especially considering the fact that they have 16 returning starters. And as you write, man, in the best newsletter and preview in the business, David Shaw, what, he averages 10.7 wins a year, this guy, man. He's a double-digit machine. Even in bad years, he wins 10 games.
He's a win machine, Gabe. There's no doubt about that. He recruits as well as anybody into that high academic standard school. He does a terrific job just that. My concern this year, two things. Number one, the offense went backwards almost 70 yards a game last year. They lose their two first-round picks in the draft, Christian McCaffrey, Jamal Thomas. Those are two big holes to have to replace this year. But some way, somehow, David Shaw always gets the job done.
Yeah, I don't know how he recruits as well as he does, considering you actually have to know what you're doing in school to actually go there. There's no free passes at Stanford in the academic side of things. But, yeah, I know it's tough. You got 16 starters returning. Unfortunately, two of them are not Saul Thomas and not Christian McCaffrey. But I think Bryce Love can step up and be pretty productive for them in this role. They've got one of the best secondaries in the country with Meeks and Holder back there. Mike, and you know what? Keller Christ looked good at quarterback, 6-0, Mark, before he got hurt. My deal with these guys, I think Stanford's schedule is tougher than the 49ers' schedule. It's freaking brutal. All right, you get Rice in Australia. All right, good. That's fun. Okay. And, you know, good for you. Week two, yeah, you're playing in Los Angeles against the Trojans. Week three, San Diego State are going to be waiting for you like snipers, Mark. You know what I mean? They're going to be waiting, thinking, God, if we can win this game, it's going to put us on the map. And they can win that game, although they play the same style. That's going to be a smash-mouth freaking football game. They have to go to Utah. They have to go to Washington State. Not to mention they host the Ducks. They host the Washington Huskies. Notre Dame and Cal. It's murderer's row, man.
the toughest schedule in the Pac-12 conference, Stanford Cardinal here. That's the reason why this 8.5 total is as low as it is. It looks appealing, 8.5. Only 8.5 wins for Stanford. He wins 10.5 games a year, but there's a reason. It's all because of the schedule.
Yeah, I'm not in a hurry to bet the over here. This could be an 8-4 football team, as good as David Shaw is. All right, UCLA Bruins, plus 900 to win the Pac-12. Win total, 6.5. When I hear a number this low, and my ears perk up here. So 6.5, minus 140 to the over, plus 110 to the under. Josh Rosen is back. He has six other starters on offense back with him. Yet real ugly, Mark. And I didn't realize how bad it was. Second to last worst rushing attack in the country last year.
Yeah, they didn't move the ball on the ground at all. They didn't do a lot of things at all offensively without Josh Rosen last football season here. Despite the fact the defense really improved last year, I was a little bit surprised. What I don't like here right now is hearing Josh Rosen crying about being an athlete and playing college football at the same time. I also learned the fact just before I come on with you that UCLA doesn't even begin classes until September 27th. They'll have played 4 football games they'll have already have played before he even has to attend school, and half the school that he attends is online classes. So quit the crying, get focused on the football schedule here. They do have some tough revenge games that they're going to be on the road at Stanford, Southern Cal, and Utah this year. Those are 3 football games you want to mark down because they'll be dogs at all 3 games. I think you can cash 2 of those 3 tickets.
They had won 8 or more in 4 straight years with Mora there, but you know, they fell on hard times. Rosen gets hurt. Everything fell apart for them last year. They host A&M in the opener. They host Hawaii. They're at Memphis. They could conceivably be 3-0. I'm not so sure, though. You know, it wouldn't shock me if they got knocked off in Memphis, to be honest.
Well, Memphis is a very good football team, well-coached football team. It could be a bad spot for them. But having Josh Rosen back, you know Jim Moore is going to come real hungry this year. He's not used to losing. They are a mission team this year, and mission teams really tend to give everything they've got off a losing season.
I'd like to take the over, but there's not a lot of room for error. Like, if they slip up, there's like 4 losable games that they're going to lose, which means they got to win all their winnable games. And, yeah, I don't know. This could be a 7-6 team, which would be an improvement, actually, from last year. But Josh Rosen's an NFL-caliber quarterback, but he might be the next Kaepernick. He's been bitching a lot over the last few years. He squawked about the money already. He walks to the beat of his own drummer, this kid. I'm telling you, keep your eye on Rosen like that.
That's why they call him the chosen Rosen.
Like, you figured he'd be all in line and everything, but no, he's not. He's not. And the thing is, too, he grew up in an upper-class family. He's got money, and he's bitching about money in the NCAA. Just sort of little, this kid, you know, he's not just going to do whatever anyone tells him to do. All right, Washington State, are people sleeping on these guys? Win total, 7.5, minus 130 to the over. And, you know, Mark, these guys are either really, really good or they're really either bad, man. They can lose to a 1AA team or they can beat USC. They're a hard team to read.
Yeah, Portland State goes in and knocks them off every year. Eastern Washington, those types of teams. Yeah. But I really like this team this year. They're going to open up with 5 straight home games in a row. They should be 4-0 when they host Southern Cal. They knock off the Trojans, and suddenly they're in the driver's seat in the conference here. They're the only team in the conference that improved offensively and defensively last year, but went backwards straight up into the spread. That's almost always an improvement team. And Mike Leach is one of the best unsung coaches in football. He's won 17 games the last 2 years, but had only 2 players drafted. He's a great coach. I think this football team has got big surprise in them this year.
All right, and quickly on the way out here, the rest of the conference, Utah is 6.5. The Utes are always a tough out. Troy Williams, back at quarterback. They did lose 8 guys in the NFL, but in Winningham, I trust. I got to go over 6.5 with the Utes. No back-to-back road games. Quickly on the Ducks, over under 7.5. I like what Taggart's doing here, and they actually do have some talent still. You know, Freeman's at running back. Herbert looked pretty good at quarterback, actually. I think they got a quarterback here. I think they're a year or two away still, though.
Most importantly, Taggart brings in Jim Leavitt as his defensive coordinator. They need defense there like blood. They're going to get it this year from him. And remember, Taggart at South Florida, his team scored 30 points or more 16 games in a row. That's the most in the country here. Offense will be there. The defense will tighten up. I think they're also a big surprise team this year. I love Oregon.
All right, Sucks. We got to get out of here. But Colorado Buffalo, 7.5. Bet the overs in these games. Their offense is awesome. Their defense is going to be suspect. Same with the both Arizona teams. Keep your eyes on the Beavers, guys. Chomp, chomp. They're going to be a pain in the ass to play. They're building an angry little group up there in Corvallis again. Keep your eye on them. And Cal could be in a lot of trouble. Mark, you like Greinke as a dog tonight.
I like Greinke, a dog. He's been a home dog 6 times the last 3 years. He's won the money 5 times. This is where the Dodgers could stumble.
Hey, always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure, Gabe. Be good. I'll catch you next week.
Go over to playbook.com for your NFL preseason newsletter. You get all the information as far as coaching trends, quarterback trends for the preseason. Tony Cincotta next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Well, the wait is officially over, you lucky son of a bitches. The National Football League preseason has started, and we've got some fantasy football. If you're really hardcore and you want to play some DFS football, you can do it. Before we give you a couple of players that I'm going to have my eye on in week one of the NFL preseason, let us remind you, if you want to win your fantasy league or you want to be much smarter for DFS football, go over to rotoexperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE. Get 10% off. You missed out on the 20% off because you were slow, lazy, and cheap. But, you know, hey, you can still win your fantasy league. And how would you not? How would you not? I'm going to do my own, like, money back guarantee. Not right now. I got to think of a smart money back guarantee. But you're going to win your league, man. RotoExperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE, and you get all the expert advice from people a hell of a lot smarter than me. But let's talk some NFL preseason DFS, and let's talk about the game that's on the board tonight with the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans. Of course, Deshaun Watson made a name for himself, the Clemson Tigers, going to back-to-back national championship games, making elite throws and leading the Clemson Tigers to a national championship victory against a very good Alabama Crimson Tide football team that a lot of people think that would have beaten the Cleveland Browns. Now, I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan, and I guess time will tell as a Buffalo Bill fan whether we screwed up in not drafting him. He's making his debut tonight. Now, he's $5,000. Now, what I like about Deshaun Watson in this situation is he's in a legitimate battle right now. I think Bill O'Brien doesn't really like young quarterbacks, so he sort of wants to go with Tom Savage. And Tom Savage is listed number one on the depth chart. But anybody that's paying attention to the Houston Texans camp right now is aware that Deshaun Watson is freaking killing it. He's killing it. And I said when he was drafted, I said the best way, don't just throw Watson in there. Whoever the best man is at the end of camp should be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. And when you're playing in the preseason, if you're betting in the preseason, or you're playing preseason like fantasy, you want to look at like competitive situations. Guys that are going to be playing for something. Deshaun Watson's playing for something. How's this for a quote? Bill O'Brien says, he's ahead of any rookie quarterback I've ever seen in my career. Bill O'Brien's been around a while. All right? Bill O'Brien's been around some pretty good quarterbacks. Bill O'Brien says this, ahead of any rookie quarterback I've ever seen. And let's not forget, this game's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Some nice synergy here. He's played against North Carolina a ton. He played South Carolina. He's played in South Carolina with the Clemson Tigers. I think that Deshaun Watson is going to lead a score or two here. And that's all it really takes in a preseason, all right? There's a, you know, the guys don't get a lot of playing time. So you know, if you're out there for a quarter, you're out there for a half, then you can really take advantage of the situation. Now, I'm just pointing out Deshaun Watson's look really good in camp. He's not my favorite quarterback of the week. A guy that I really do like, though, is Jacoby Brissett, $5,500. Hey, it's preseason, guys. Listen. We know that Tom Brady ain't going to be getting snaps. We know that they don't want to get Jimmy Garoppolo hurt because they don't want Jacoby Brissett to be their only backup. And when you're playing this stuff, take a look at rosters that only have 3 quarterbacks, all right? You know, because if you get 4 quarterbacks and stuff, you never know what the rotation's going to be. You know, Jacoby Brissett, man, this guy's going to play the entire second half. He might even play like 3 quarters type of stuff. And Jacoby Brissett's fighting for his job right now. Bill Belichick's not overly, you know, overly impressed with him in camp. I think he's just trying to push him a little bit. But Jacoby Brissett's going to be on the field for a ton of freaking snaps, man. against the Jacksonville Jaguars at $5,500. I think Jacoby Brissett is worth a look. Camera 2, Drew likes Brett Hundley in the Green Bay Packers, and I can't disagree. I think that's actually a good pick. And, you know, that Packer-Eagle game is a game that I have my eye on, which leads me into a running back, guys. Jamal Williams, $5,500. All right, they don't want to get Ty Montgomery hurt. Jamal Williams is a rookie. They want to see what he can do. And we know that Jamal Williams can run the football. But they want to see, can Jamal Williams protect the quarterback? I would expect Jamal Williams to get a lot of snaps as well in this football game. He's been actually getting reps with the first team already. Like I said, he can run the football. A lot of rookie guys can run the football, running backs. That's not the thing. Can you protect the quarterback? And especially when your quarterback's name is Aaron Rodgers, all right? So they're going to want to see, and I'm telling you, they're going to run a bunch of plays. They're going to be throwing the ball. They're going to have Williams trying to protect the quarterback and stuff. And he's an angry runner. I think that Williams is a nice pick here at $5,500. I think he's going to have an impact on the Packers this year in the regular season. Another running back to keep your eye on in this football game. I'm a huge Darnell Pumphrey fan. This kid's going to be an impact player in the National Football League. He's not just a little gadget type of guy. He was the all-time NCAA leading rusher. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's been working on that as well. He's been getting reps up with the first team. And listen, Matthews gets hurt all the time, and Sproles has nothing to prove. Rookie running backs get carries and stuff in the preseason. They want to get him acclimated to the National Football League. Pumphrey's a playmaker, man. The guy played in the Senior Bowl. He was running people over and stuff. He, what did he say yesterday? I'm ready to put on a show for Eagle fans and show everybody why they drafted me. I'm fired up for my first game. He's ready to go. He's a little stick of dynamite, this kid. And finally, this is a real sleeper, guys. Real, you're not going to find this anywhere. Devin Lucien, $5,500. Patriot wide receivers, man. They got nothing to prove. You know, the Hogans, the Amendolas, the Edelmans of the world, the Brandon Cooks of the world. Devin Lucien's that next guy up. He's trying to make the team. He's probably going to make it on special teams and stuff. But he caught two passes for touchdowns in their scrimmage the other day. Belichick's raving about him. If you dig down deep, he's one of the buzz guys at camp right now. Not to have an impact, but to make the team. We're talking about the Patriots, right? Yeah, look at the stable of wide receivers and tight ends they have. Hey, kid, you catch a couple of passes in the preseason game tonight, and you'll be on special teams this year. Devin Lucien, we're really reaching. Nobody's going to own him. Game time decisions continues. We'll talk week one regular season next.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
The countdown is on. The National Football League preseason has begun. The regular season is rapidly approaching. We remind you to go to rotoexperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE. Get 10% off if you want to win your fantasy football league or you want to be a hell of a lot smarter every Sunday for your DFS lineups. You've got award-winning experts, and there's going to be videos and questionnaires and all that type of stuff, man. Everything, interaction and all that good stuff that goes along with it. FaceTime with Corey Parsons, even. Although I don't know is that a good thing? We're just kidding. We got to get Parsons. We got to get the exec on the program. But 10%, you get 10% off promo code RAGE, rotoexperts.com/discount. So let's talk some DFS week one, boys, because the salaries have been released. You can put together a lineup right freaking now. And I know the Tony Sincotta already has. What's going on, Tony?
I'm firing up. You made me go look at the salaries. I don't like to look at them because now I'm going to have, like, by the time September 10th comes, I'll have 2,342 lineups now. But I've got my quarterbacks down, and I got five quarterbacks simpling on, and not the big elite quarterbacks. We got some bargains.
Yeah, you know what? I felt like a loser this morning when I was breaking it down. I'm like, man, I'm late to the party. And then I realized, no, we're extremely hardcore. We're early to the party. Yes, I think you and I are the first ones out of the gate here, so let's get right down to it. I tell you what, the prices of the quarterbacks surprised me a little bit. for week one. And right out of the gate, I disagree with the most expensive quarterback. I want no part of him in this spot. He's always one hit away from getting injured. They know that. They don't want to get him injured. And I'm talking about Big Ben Roethlisberger because they're playing the Cleveland Browns in week one. And that's exactly why I don't want him. I'd rather Big Ben Roethlisberger in a game where I know it's going to be a track meet, not a game that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to dominate. I'd rather have a piece of Le'Veon Bell. I don't see, you know, they don't want to get Big Ben hurt throwing the football and stuff. I could easily see Pittsburgh winning this game, you know, 21-7 or something like that. I don't think they're going to put 35 points up on the board.
I don't either. I like Le'Veon Bell a lot. They were 28th against the run last year, the Cleveland Browns. Only 22nd against the pass, and their defense has improved a little bit. So why pay top dollar of $7,300 there? If you're going to go for and pay for an upper echelon quarterback, I would probably go in Seattle with Russell Wilson, even though I won't use him either, and get in part of that Green Bay-Seattle game, which I think will be one of the highest scoring games of the day. But I don't think you need to pay for him either.
All right, I gave a best bet already a couple of months ago, speaking of being early out of the gate. As soon as they released the week one lines, I was like, I'll give a couple of picks. And my best bet pick was the Raiders and the Titans to go over the number. That is the highest total on the board. It's actually come down a little bit, but that doesn't automatically mean that I want to take either of these quarterbacks, although I understand why people would. I don't really have a problem with it. Mariota's $6,800. Highest total on the board. He's got a slew of weapons to work with. I mean, would this shock you if this game... Remember last year when the Raiders went to New Orleans, it was 36-35? It'll be the same type of game, right? Like, this is going to be a high-scoring game. I get it. And Carr, $6,700. Titans secondary gives up massive chunks through the air. I can't disagree with people that take Carr or Mariota, but I prefer Mariota in this spot. And I do like Mariota at $6,800. I like other guys better because they're cheaper, but I do like Mariota in this spot, Tony.
People don't realize that Marcus Mariota was the number one fantasy player, not even quarterback, in all of fantasy from weeks 5 to weeks 12. And that gets lost with the Raiders secondary suspect there. I like this kid a lot. The only question is, does he run like he ran a little last year? He's not going to need to. He's got weapons now. Just get back there and throw the ball, kid.
All right, here's a guy that I liked, and I thought I was going to be smart, and I was going to be one of the cool kids. I was disappointed to see he was $6,200. Tyrod Taylor. And I bring up Tyrod Taylor. You and I talked about Tyrod. We talk about Tyrod a lot, but just for people that are, oh, Tyrod Taylor. All right, Tyrod Taylor averaged 18.8 DK points a game last year. Marcus Mariota averaged 18.5. Derek Carr averaged 19.3. Tyrod Taylor puts up big-time elite quarterback fantasy numbers for a mid-tier price, Tony. He just does.
I talk about this. I have flip-flopped. I'm Mitt Romney of fantasy football when it comes to Tyrod Taylor because I was not a Tyrod Taylor guy. But the numbers say over the last 2 years, he's the seventh best quarterback in all of fantasy football. He's actually 1.19 points behind Drew Brees in combined total the last 2 years. Guys that run for 30 yards per game and average that over the last two years is him, Cam Newton, and that's it. That is it. So if you play in a league where you have 4 points for a touchdown, which most of these leagues do, you're getting a touchdown without him throwing it. He runs for it.
Dude, he's going to carve up the Jets in week one, too. I see, like, the Bills winning 27-3 or something like that. He'll run around. He'll throw for 2 touchdowns. He'll run for 60 yards or so. I think Tyrod Taylor's a nice play, but maybe not the best value on the board. You mentioned Russell Wilson, $6,900, 18.3 points, DK points per game last year. This game could turn into a track meet. There's no doubt about it. Last year, Green Bay beat them up. Seattle only put 10 points up on the board, but you got to believe Seattle's offense is going to be a little bit better. This game, there could be some points on the board.
That secondary, Green Bay, was the worst last season. Remember, Aaron Rodgers would go back and throw 50-plus times a game? That was just to keep up with the other teams and the lack of the running game there. So, basically, he's going to go 50-plus times in this contest. Russell Wilson will be around 40 times per game in this game. Green Bay Packers did a decent job at stopping the run. So, you throw on him, you throw on him, and you throw on him. I like the Russell Wilson-Dougie Baldwin combination, but I think you can do better at cheaper at quarterback, but still use Dougie Baldwin.
How about Eli Manning at $5,600? And he's such a goofball, but man, $5,600 bucks. He's got the weapons to work with. And what I like about this, look, last year, Tony, the weakness of the Dallas Cowboys defense was the secondary, okay? But they've got a bunch of new dudes, yet they're all young guys. They've got a bunch of raw young guys. And I like the Cowboys this year. As long as they stay out of trouble, I think the Cowboys are a playoff caliber team once again. But with that being stated, I think there could be some growing pains early with this young secondary. Eli could take advantage of this in week one. And for $5,600 for a team that's not going to run the ball, Tony, $5,600 did catch my eye.
This is the perfect scenario, I think, on week one, right? A team that can't run the ball, then Eli Manning's got Odell Beckham Jr. A lot of people are forgetting about Sterling Shepard. I'm not a big Brandon Marshall guy, but they'll try to work him in. And they're going to throw the ball 45-plus times against this Dallas team. As you mentioned, young, the suspensions. There's a lot of things happening, I think, the first week that Eli Manning could put up a big, big game. And he's got to throw for 300 minimum. That's the floor in this game.
Another football game with a higher total is 48 points. The Arizona Cardinals take on the Detroit Lions in Detroit. Carson Palmer, both me and Tony feel as though Carson Palmer is a fantasy sleeper this year. We've talked about it a lot. He revamped his offseason workout routine. He didn't throw footballs as much as he used to during the regular season last year. In the last 5 weeks, he stopped practicing Wednesdays. Boom, 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. His arm is rejuvenated. It's fresh. Total is 48 in his football game, $6,000. I like him, but not my top pick. But I do like Carson in this spot for 6K.
I like him a lot. I think I would actually use this guy. I'm a little higher on him than you. The Detroit Lions were 31st in the set league in quarterbacks, allowing points to quarterbacks in fantasy football last year. They didn't do much to upgrade that secondary. It's been a problem for 3 or 4 years, so the coaching staff isn't going to change it. It's an absolute abysmal show in that Detroit secondary. I think Carson Palmer comes back with a little bit of wounded pride and shows people he's back, and he's going to hit John Brown, hit a little J.J. Nelson, but I'd be pairing him with Larry Fitzgerald.
No, you're right. It wouldn't shock. He's going to throw 3 touchdowns. You're right. Maybe 4. He's going to throw 3. He'll throw a little screen to Johnson. Johnson will pop one for 22. Yeah, boom. He'll hit John Brown for a bomb. Stickle cell stuff is in the past. Yeah, Arizona's an exciting team. I love them to go over 8.5 this year. Matt Ryan, $6,900. Take it on the Bears. It wouldn't shock me if he threw 3 touchdown passes. But you and I are on the same page here. Let's take a look at Carson freaking Wentz. And I don't know if I'm getting goofy, man, but I'm loving Philly a lot, man, from a fantasy standpoint. There's a lot to like about this team on the offensive side of the football, even defensively. If they had a better secondary, I'd be all in almost here. Super value pick, $5,300, loaded at the wide receiver position right now. Josh Norman does more talking than he does defending. Absolutely. Breland's a gas can. You know, he'll be better this year, but there'll be points on the board. Both these teams like to air it out. The Redskins throw it down the field. The Eagles are going to throw it down the field. $5,300, man. Carson Wentz is going to put up some good fantasy numbers in week one. I'm telling you.
People don't realize crazy Doug Peterson took a rookie quarterback last year from North Dakota State and let him throw the ball 6 times, 6th most in the National Football League. Imagine what he's going to do this year with weapons. They dropped 5.7 passes last year, those wide receivers. So they go in, they change the wide receivers. You still got Darren Sproles. He'll throw the ball 40 times in this game against this Redskins secondary. We'll have 60 points in this game, and Carson Wentz is a great play week one.
I want to make him my starting quarterback, so I have all that money for everyone else. I got a piece of Le'Veon Bell and everybody else. Great stuff, Tony.
Take care, my man.
Tony Cincata with us. Can't wait. Bring it on.
Hey, fantasy nerds. Here's a question for you. What do mozzarella sticks and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network have in common? They're both awesome apps. But seriously, download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app right now and get all your favorite shows and fantasy advice at the touch of a tiny icon on your screen. Snapchat and Instagram aren't going to help you win a fantasy football title, but the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app will. So go get it now on Google Play and iTunes.
Are you ready for some football? I sure as hell am. All right, we've got the Houston Texans and the Carolina Panthers. I tell you guys all the time that betting on preseason football is a good thing. But let's show a little bit more patience. This is just a recreational play. I got a couple of picks this week that I really like. But weeks 2 and 3 is when we can really start to cash in, when we see how things start to take shape. But tonight, give me the Houston Texans, man. In Deshaun Watson, I trust. And we got Tom Savage, we got Deshaun Watson, we got Brandon Weeden. Brandon Weeden blows, and he's 62 years old, but he's played in a ton of NFL football games. I think that Watson can do some damage tonight. I think there's going to be some points put up on the board as well. And Bill O'Brien is 8-4 in 12 preseason games. Give me the Texans +1. A little small play to the over here, 38. Underdogs, give me the Rays +105. Royals, as soon as I say they're going to win, they suck. And Dodgers, give me the Dodgers -120. May the winners be yours.